Well, we were working on Colossians last few weeks, and since I rocked some of y'all's world with that analogy of the military, I will not use it again, okay? Some of you had a bad experience with memories. My brother would say the same thing. So we're not going to use that military analogy again. I'll introduce another analogy. And hopefully this will be a little bit more benign. And I say that sort of tongue-in-cheek. You will see what I'm talking about. But in Colossians, we saw that it was a really intense little letter. And there's a lot of good stuff there. Someone agrees?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Because, as you know, you had the excitement of reading it 20 times in 3 weeks, right? It's short enough. Look at you. Consider this passage as we move on to the gospel. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish each one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wow! Right? That's the following verses from chapter 3 that we studied last week. And talk about practical instructions that letter has covered for us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Clothe yourselves with good stuff, right? Good stuff. Meekness, humility, you heard all those words. Even if you don't have those things, says Paul, put them on. Right? Even if it doesn't come natural to us, clothe yourselves with these things. A lot of times we hear from folks who have comments about the church. Christians. Oh, they're so holy. Right? And I don't know if you've heard this before. I didn't write this, but commentary. Oh, those Christians. They say one thing and they do another. Hypocrites, right? Have you heard that? Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why I left the church was exactly that. I couldn't stand how people would say one thing and then do another. But then I learned. Then I learned through God's grace the reality of my life. I'll always do that. Why? Because it is not natural for me to exhibit meekness. It's not natural for me to be graceful with another. It's not natural for me to love another. It's natural for me to love myself, right? So whatever we do in Christ is unnatural. And I would even say it's supernatural. Because as we engage with the Holy Spirit and what He's doing in our lives, then we can clothe ourselves, right? We can put these things on. As if we are in Christ. Really good stuff. Forgive right? Forgive, because you have been forgiven, right? So as we realize what God is doing in us, then we can do those things for others. Let the peace of Christ rule in your life. All good stuff. That's why I like Paul. He has all this encouragement for us. And I want to say something today that I should have been more specific last Sunday about. Please understand that these are exhortations. It is true that we don't get to heaven, right? Because we are good. Anybody agrees?
Yes.
Okay. So it doesn't matter how hard we run, that's not going to make it for us. We understand that. It is not about salvation, but about celebration. You see, we don't do these things to be saved because we have been saved by grace. The Lord God has done it all through Jesus, and we accept that reality. So we celebrate it. I don't know if you know the song, Celebrate Jesus, Celebrate. I mean, I don't know. How do you celebrate? Do you celebrate like? I mean, it is a celebration of what God has done in our lives. And as we are celebrating, then we move on and we live in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're invited to do. We celebrate the fact that we are broken vessels who have received grace. And there are those who have believed that we have received that grace. We also believe that we have received certain gifts. Amen? Things that were not ours, but we have been giving them. That God has equipped us with those things. He has just put it in our hands, from His hands. So when Paul gives these exhortations, and sometimes they're really intense for us, it's because he loves his people. And he wants to show us how to celebrate our lives in Christ. And so does Jesus. He loves us. And he loves us so much that he lets us know about his Father's heart. Do not be afraid. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What a statement, isn't it? It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, what has been given to us is for God to share. And God wants us to make sure that our lives are focused. Says someone that has ADD, right? How in the world can I do that? How in the world can I focus on Jesus and Christ throughout this complex life? Last week we mentioned that we needed to seek first what? The kingdom of God, and all else would follow, right? And we said that it's easier said than done. Seek first the kingdom of God. But today we hear Jesus say that where our treasure is, where our heart is. So there is something about this understanding that is economic. So speaking in economic terms seems to be a sure way to catch our attention. When we talk about the wallet, right? Then our ears perk up. Or maybe it's just mine. When you talk about treasure, our purse, about possessions, and about thieves trying to steal what we have, we're talking about important stuff. Things that we can identify with. Why? Because our possessions are the fruit of our work. And what we think is ours. And sometimes we forget that it has been given to us. You see, even the ability to produce is not ours. It's not ours alone. It comes from the Father who has given those things to us. So the kingdom can be seen then as a gift from God for us to manage for His glory. And I'm going to come to the main point here. For us to manage. Any good managers here? Okay, not all. Please don't lift up your hands all at once. Jeez. Managing is not easy. Agree?
Right.
Especially managing our lives. This is complicated. Maybe I sound like a teenager, but... Right? Texting. It's complicated. Our life are complex. But if we are managers, guess what? That means that we're working for someone. Right? Most of the time we think that we're working for ourselves. You see, if you're in Christ, you are a manager for somebody else. And that's why we don't realize all that well in our lives. And what that means too is that we are basically slaves. Yikes. Now I'm talking about another term, which may be or bring out some of the stuff that was brought out last week with the military analogy. Some people don't like to speak about the military because they didn't have a great experience. I didn't even have the experience, and I don't like it. Right? When you're talking about training, you know, basic training and all that stuff, hey, that's hard stuff. And so is to be doing work for somebody else. We do that every day, don't we? Slavery is usually seen as having a negative connotation because of all the history and all the images that we have in our minds. I'm from the Caribbean, and I've been reading a book about the history of the Caribbean from Columbus to Fidel Castro. And I'm telling you, it ain't pretty. How that life was used to create wealth for others, I mean, it's not pretty. And we have all these things in our mind. Even in Christ and even through the Bible, we read about Egypt, right? And the people of Israel being in bondage for 400 years. That ain't good. It wasn't pretty. And all the way from there to our recent history in the United States, we have these notions of slavery that actually are worthy of resentment. And maybe it's very similar to the experience of the military for some. But I like to change that notion a little bit. You see, because this is said in the context of the kingdom. The kingdom has been given to us. So we should understand what is going on here when Jesus says these things. And as we understand that term, maybe we can gain a little insight of what he's talking about. A king or queen was master of the kingdom. We don't have many of those today. I think Spain still has royalty like that, right? They don't really function in government on that much. They're just figures in England and all that. But usually, when we talk about kingdom, there's mastery involved. And everyone within the kingdom was subservient to the royals. Some royals ruled well, and some did not. Right? David is an example of a good king who fought for the people, protected the people. He was a good dude. He was really for the people. And even though he failed in his personal life, he knew that he was also a servant. And he knew about God's own love towards him. So his relationship was of submission to the ruler of his life. So we are in a similar situation. When it says we dress for action, is that we clothe ourselves like servants who are waiting for the master so we can serve. And the thing about it is that we're blessed. It says, Jesus says that we're blessed when we are found ready, at the alert. When we are found doing our thing for the kingdom. It says, your lamps need to be lit, right? If we are serving the master, then that means we need to be ready. And there's that theme of clothing ourselves again. Because it is relevant to Jesus and his disciples. Because it denotes a sense of dependency. Hello? We're not doing it on our own. We clothe ourselves with things that are not necessarily ours, even though we have been giving a bunch of stuff for service. Did you get that? Being a servant is admitting that we don't have it all. It's admitting that we don't have all the power. And it's accepting that we are depending upon an external source to complement what we bring to the table. We have a protector in our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and King, God our Father. And we put ourselves at God's service. So all of Paul's exhortations about being meek and being patient and compassionate and loving, all those things are really dependent upon our reliance on the source of all those things. The one who reigns upon us is the one that equips us with all that. And just as in a kingdom, you have many roles. Okay, so we're coming to you now. I've been talking about that in general. But let's talk about you. What is your role in the kingdom? What are your gifts for the kingdom? What are the things that God has done in your life that is so specific that only you can do? I'm telling you, God has done wonderful things in this world. I look in the morning in the mirror, and when I look at myself, yes, I cringe. I understand. But then I start digging what's behind that, and I see what God has done through this broken vessel. A person that stutters and is speaking publicly? I mean, does it make any sense to you? You see, God has done wonderful things, and He has equipped you with a bunch of tools. And as willful servants, we put those gifts at His service for the glory of the kingdom. When we give alms or sell our possessions for the benefit of the kingdom, we are serving. When we put our own selves at God's service, we are willfully contributing to His work. And that is God's economy. That is God's economy. I know that many would rather have a God that gives everything. Right? I wish God would give me a job. I wish God would give me a house. I pray that God would give me strength. I pray that God gives me and gives me and gives me and gives me more and more and more because I need it. Have you said that before? I know I have. In my journey in relationship with God, that's, again, how we tend to see things. But what about giving? What about giving of what we have been given? Now that's different. That willful contributing to God's work, that decision to place ourselves in God's hands, even our broken selves. Hello? Anyone? Anyone feels broken in this place? Incomplete? Finding lacking? Needing? I think we all feel that way. But imagine that. Saying to ourselves, okay, this is who I am and this is what I am. I'm putting myself in your hands. I'm giving of what you have placed in this for your glory. And maybe I need to discover even more of who I am and what you have done in me. Because it goes beyond what we see. And it goes beyond who we are. It's about what He is and what He has done. You see, the last statement on that text that we read, it sort of provides the twist to the whole scenario. Our being ready, our clothing of ourselves, our putting on the uniform, our active involvement in the kingdom, our training in discipleship is all in the context of the return of Christ. It's all placed in the context of a time where Jesus Christ is coming. Be ready. Be ready because He can come today. Now, believe me, I prayed that He comes soon. Lord, do it now. Right? It might as well. I mean, there's a lot of waves I want to surf. I still want to go to Indonesia, Fiji, a lot of places to go surfing and do a lot. I love it. But if you want, come now. Come now. Returning. See, when the Prince of Peace will have his way and reign forever, then we will serve him forever. And now that's when we say forever, now you may be saying, say what? We're going to be serving God forever? That's what we're getting ready for. Eternal life with Christ. There's a lot of things that we need to be ready for. There's a lot of work to be done. I can think of a lot of them. I mean, we have a community around us that needs Jesus, right? They speak Spanish, Spanglish, English, and many other languages. Imagine that. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of people that are suffering. And even though we're not going to cure everybody, right? We can ease someone's suffering. We can bring God's good news to their lives. There's a lot of work to do. But guess what? We're not alone. Because Jesus is with us. He's the one equipping us, directing us, leading us, teaching us, so that then we can reach, teach, and serve. In His name, amen. Let's pray. God, as we consider in our hearts and minds and our souls these words from Jesus about being ready and about clothing ourselves with Your stuff. We ask, Lord, that You don't allow us to even think of that as a burden or life, but as a blessing. A blessing of participation in what God is doing in our world. Open our eyes, Lord, and help us see what You are doing. And help us to engage with joy and celebration of a life abundant in You. Amen. Amen. And amen.